Blog Talk Radio.
But they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Uploaded and get it listened to today, and we have failed to do so. We have got to do that. Da, da, da. Man.
Discombobulation. Discombobulation. Good day, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whichever time you listen to the show, we greatly appreciate it. We have, let's see, we've grown by 400,000,000%. Yeah, that's correct. I believe that was the correct number given to me by the people over there. Anyway, we do thank you for listening to the show. We do thank you for being here. We thank everyone for joining in. We thank Michael Cutler for last week's show, being interviewed, the immigration expert. Wow. I want you guys to recognize the amazing ability of getting the facts 100% straight, getting immigration down to the little nugget of fact that is necessary for you to make the argument, and that is all done by listening to Michael Cutler and his stances on immigration, and just the preeminent expert on immigration from last week. Amazing, amazing stuff. So we'd like to thank him again. Remember, if you want to find out more about him, he'll be on the show again in a little while. But if you want to keep up track with him, you go to talkborder.com or his site, michaelcutler.net. Greatly appreciate you guys going there, telling them Jack sent you, and saying, please tell me more, sir. I can't wait. Okay, wow. This one. This one's big because everybody's slightly talking about it, aren't they? Isn't everyone kind of talking about the gun movement? I mean, for years, years and years and years now, we haven't heard anything about gun control. Then, all of a sudden, in little December, there was that horrific shooting, not to downplay that at all. Very angry. So let's make sure we understand that we've been sitting here until a tragic day. Now, children, anytime any child has any issue, let's get this straight. Do not even attempt to try to make this about that. This show is going to be all about little facts, okay? We're not going to bring people up and say, my uncle was killed by guns. We're not going to bring children up and say, you know, my friend was killed by guns. We're not going to do that. We're not parading anybody through here today. We're going to look simply at facts. We're going to look at the past, because the past is the greatest predictor of the future. So if we can look at what has happened in the past over firearms, we can look at what is going to occur in the future over firearms, and then we can see what the outcomes, what the predictable reasons that could be for confiscating guns, and the reasons the Second Amendment is even here, okay? So, the latest things we have a Montana lawmaker saying the executive orders could force Americans to hand in their firearms to receive critical hospital treatment. Yeah, we'll talk about that. We've got cops are pushing for a law in Houston that if they deem you medically weird, your guns are gone. There's a gun control measure just passed in Maryland. They're trying to figure out if New York passed gun legislation too fast. There's a gun bill to ban shotguns, even though Biden said that's the way to go. And then, of course, you're Dianne Feinstein. We're going to talk about her and the mostly stupid thing she says. We're going to go into Dianne Feinstein a little bit. Because it's... She really has this high and mighty attitude, doesn't she? All right, so... We apologize for the discombobulation. I am not kidding when I say we were
absolutely discombobulated.
We even had some technical difficulties, flubbed it on lots of things, so forth and so on. Anyway, all right, so let's look at some. Well, let's before we start, everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. I've got to go get something. Take a couple minutes, so we'll be right back and start. What are we calling up in arms about firearms? On both sides, a little libation there. Everybody from both sides, take a break. Small break, relax, okay? All right. We're going to go into Diane Feinstein in a minute. Let's talk about some current things first, okay? Again, we didn't hear a lot of peep until December, and then now we got a lot of news about firearms. And let's get it straight. This legislation that has been proposed wasn't just thought of. Okay? There's no way that everything that has happened. In fact, New York's tough new gun restrictions were rushed into law so fast that there was a challenge in court saying, this doesn't make any sense. There wasn't any talking, there wasn't any public hearings, there wasn't anything, and you're going to try to tell me that suddenly there's a whole big thing. Rationally and logically, this is not a new attack or assault on the Second Amendment. This is not new, and it is not simply thought of since December, okay? So these things are sitting around, okay? And they're brought forth in such a massive media blitz with a very complicit media. In fact, let's do something real fast. Let's just do a search on it. Let's pick a major search engine. We won't say any names because we're going to give you a name of a search engine later on today where you can search without any problem. Let's look. Let's see. All right. So you do a quick search on all kinds of things, and there is a whole bunch of articles about why the Second Amendment is for greater gun regulation. Yeah, that's exactly what that means. So let's peruse the thoughts, okay, on that side, and then we're going to look at gun conversation. Pretty much always leads to tyranny, and this is not just a statement that I'm telling you. I'm gonna expose some facts. Remember, this show is all about exposing the actual truths. We're not bringing emotion into it. Look, people getting killed by a gun is a tragedy. Period, plain and simple. However, there are many, many cases and instances of a gun sitting on a shelf for hundreds of years and never killing a soul. It is up until and when that gun is picked up by another human with the mindset to use that gun in an evil way. Well, what happens if the gun wasn't sitting there, sir? They couldn't grab a gun. You're right. They could grab an axe or a machete or a stick. Oh, your argument's so... You're just so simple. They can grab anything and kill anybody, pretty much. If someone wants to kill someone and they have the wherewithal to think logically about ways to make it happen, they will find a way to make it happen. Could you not... Is the toilet not hard? I have busted my head on a toilet when I was a kid. The toilet is hard enough to bust a head open. Could I not just grab someone, drag them into the bathroom, hit their head repeatedly on the toilet, and then we have to ban all toilets? I mean, these are comedic, funny scenarios here. Yeah, I did. I tripped right in the bathroom. My Aunt Betty's house, rest her soul. Fantastic woman, but I tripped at her house, fell straight forward, the seat was up, hit the porcelain portion right in the middle, right underneath the hairline, and busted open pretty bad. So I know for a fact the toilet is hard enough to cause a great disruption to your cranium. All right, serious. All right, so. All right, we're doing about 10 things here at one time, too, so everyone relax for 1 second. We're going to press on this, we're going to press on this. Anyway, here's something that just came out recently. After the president's, and I want to read this to you. I don't want to say who it is, but I guess I will. Anyway, the Second Amendment is all for gun control. This guy has put this out on February 17th. His name is Winkler. Anyway, after President Passion called for gun control in his State of the Union, Rand Paul offered a rebuttal. We will not let liberals tread on the Second Amendment, he insisted, repeating what has become the GOP's mantra, Obama's gun proposals infringe the Constitution. Well, he's saying this is misleading. None of Obama's proposals are likely to be struck down by the Supreme Court, and it should nonetheless serve as a reminder that gun control advocates mistakenly continue to cede the constitutional arguments to the extremists. Whoa, extremists. Okay, Rand Paul's an extremist. All right. GOP's an extremist organization. I understand. Nothing on the left can be extremist. We understand. Let's go into this a little bit. Let's take a... It's time to take back the Second Amendment is what he's fighting for. For the past 30 years, the Second Amendment has been defied by the most radical elements of gun rights movement. They argue not only the Second Amendment guarantees individuals the rights to own guns, a view that represents, in my view, all right, so gun rights advocates argue that the Second Amendment guarantees individuals' rights to own guns, a view that represents, in my view, the best understanding of our history and tradition, but more importantly, that nearly any restriction on the manufacturer ownership or use of firearms infringes the sacred right. Okay. So the radical vision of the Second Amendment is remarkably mainly for having so little basis in Supreme Court case law, the text of the Constitution, and American history. Okay. Now, in 2008, the Supreme Court held the Second Amendment did secure the right of law-abiding, responsible adults to have handguns in their homes for their protection. Yet the court went out of its way to acknowledge, like most forms of gun regulation, remain constitutionally permissible. Like most rights, the right secured by the Second Amendment is not unlimited. It is not a right to keep and carry any weapon whatsoever in any manner whatsoever and for whatever purpose. Okay. Okay, you're right. We all don't need bazookas. All right. So, nothing in that Supreme Court opinion should be taken to cast doubt on a wide range of gun laws, including bars on felons, the mentally ill from possessing guns, restrictions on guns in sensitive places, such as schools or government buildings, or laws imposing conditions and qualifications on the commercial sale of arms. Now, in short, he's saying the Supreme Court said there's a lot of room under the Second Amendment for gun control. In recognizing the legitimacy of many gun laws, the Supreme Court did no more than adhere to the text of the Second Amendment in the part of the amendment that gun rights absolutionists usually ignore. The founders extolled the importance of a well-regulated militia. Gun advocates are right that this language was not designed to limit the right to people serving in military organizations like the National Guard. The framers repeatedly said militia was composed of we the people, ordinary citizens with our own guns. Yet, it's also clear that the framers thought the people who make up the militia should be well regulated, trained, disciplined, and properly instructed by the government. Whoa. There's the flaw. Trained, disciplined, and properly instructed by the government. Back then, there was no government training of how to use firearms. No, it was firearm owners, firearm creators, bullet manufacturers, well, a bunch of lead being shot out of muskets back then, but the people that did these things were the people who knew, and the people who had to train them were the people who knew, not the government. So, all right, so they go, this guy goes on, you know, we're going to start somewhere. We have to start somewhere, and I know it's crazy. In other words, the American right to bear arms has always coexisted with gun regulation. Yes. That is correct. There is nothing wrong with saying bazookas cannot be given to everyone. That's not a firearm. The founding fathers, he goes on to say, had gun laws so restrictive that today's NRA leaders would never support them. They had broad bans on possession of firearms by people thought to be untrustworthy. I think we have that now. Militia laws that required people to appear at musters where the government would inspect guns. I have to look that up. Safe storage laws that made armed self-defense difficult. I have to look that up. And even forms of gun registration. The founders who wrote the Second Amendment did not think it was a libertarian license for anyone to have a gun anytime, anywhere they wanted. All right. So, they're saying all the major provisions of Obama's gun agenda are likely to enjoy the same support. Universal background checks at point of sale. commercial sale conditions and qualifications, designed to make it harder for felons and mentally ill to buy guns. Yes, 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 I'm sorry, I just sniffled. There's been a snot bug around the studio here, passed along left, right, forward, backwards, and we still move forward. We still make this happen, so stop it. Where was I? See, you make me lose my place just because I sniffle once. We don't have a sniffle button or a cough button. Ah. All right. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Where was I since you interrupted me? Oh, Supreme Court said that dangerous, unusual weapons like machine guns can be banned. Military-style rifles. This line is so stupid, I'm not even going to say it. Because he says arguably. In other words, saying the Supreme Court didn't say this, but obviously you can say this, and I'm not even going to give him that fact. So, even if such weaponry is sufficiently commonplace to avoid being designated as unusual, restrictions on such weaponry do not substantially interfere with anyone's ability to defend themselves. Now, that's important. You want restrictions on such weaponry that do not substantially interfere with anyone's ability to defend themselves. In other words, if you say every gun, if we don't take the gun must be put up in a locked box. The trigger has to be locked. It has to be put in a locked box, and that locked box has to be put in a safe. That gun is useless. Somebody breaks into your home, you've got 14 seconds. You're not getting in a safe, a box, and taking a trigger lock off. So grasp that as one piece we're going to talk about later as a backdoor way for gun control. Make you put it way far away. And that's the recent decision of a federal appeals court said, okay, you cannot have restrictions on weaponry that do not substantially interfere with anyone's ability to defend themselves. And then they're saying that the Supreme Court said the securing an individual right to have guns for personal protection is not offended by gun laws designed to make it harder for the most dangerous people to obtain the most dangerous weapons. So let's look at something here. We can have every gun law in place. We can have it to where it's three steps down, right? A mentally unstable person can find a way through all his or her dealings with people somehow, some way to say, let me just see your gun. Once a person sees a gun, they can seize a gun. Remember, that's always one of the defense things people teach. Once a person sees a gun, they can seize a gun. Right? That's another argument we're going to get into a little bit later about the facts of going to tell the government yourself that you have a gun. That is another issue. And then we're going to get in that newspaper thing that listed all the, I know, it's a big pause, listed all the people who own firearms because they're on this list. Pretty crazy, huh? All right, we're looking for something right now so we can get it involved in the show. We apologize for not having this done beforehand. This might make me talking be a little weird, so we're going to take a small, little, tiny break real quick. We'll be back in less than 40 seconds. Read the Second Amendment, because not a lot of people say the entire text. Okay? It's a very quick Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights. All right, so let's get to that. Let me get my stuff straight. Again, very much discombobulation here. What are you doing? What happened? Are we still? We're still up, right? We're not having a glitch, are we? I don't think so. No. Looks like we're okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, Amendment number 2. First of all, Amendment 1, I'm going to go ahead and get that straight. Congress shall make no law respecting establish a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right. Now, understand that the press back then were really people that were attempting to show the news and show the facts. So some of the people today are called the press, but some of the other people are called just another wing of the party. Or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for the redress of grievances. Now this is important. Number one, we're going to have an entire show on this, on exactly some of the rules, because we're starting to put together some of the ways in which we can start knocking politics down a notch, because you're not rock stars. They're not rock stars. And we've got a lot of things coming down the pipe. So I want you to start getting excited here. We're going to change the attitude. We're going to change the way that these guys are seeing themselves, because my goodness, they're really, really think they're on a pedestal, and I, for one, am getting tired of that, because the people that said the House and the Senate, the Congress that used to go up to Washington to create legislation for their people and their constituents that they serve. Right now, no one's doing anything for the constituents that they serve. In fact, they're up there all the time. They rarely come back to the constituents that they serve and discuss what's happening, and they rarely listen to the constituents that they serve. So we're going to be talking about that a lot here lately. All right, amendment number two. Here we go. We're going to read it in full. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, breaking it down. We have to have a military. And then another, there's a comma here, people. All right, so a well-regulated militia, comma. In other words, we need to have a military, comma. And then being necessary to the security of a free state, comma. It's not saying a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of the free state. No. It's like saying donuts, comma, cream, comma, coffee. Or the right to drink coffee shall not be infringed. It's three things. A well-regulated militia, comma, in other words, military. All right? Then, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, militia and arms, and state are the three capitalized words. So that makes kind of each one of them a separate issue. So you've got military. You've got, first of all, states' rights here all of a sudden. The right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period. There we go. Now, broken down, that says a very different thing than what a lot of people are saying it says. In fact, we just read an article that says it is stating that there are so many gun control legislations. I mean, it's stating that there needs to be some rules. I did not get that it says there needs to be some rules. Okay? So, is gun ownership a civil right? If you look at it on the fact that Amendment number one is the establishment of religion, freedom of press, and freedom of speech, that makes Amendment number two pretty much on par. All right? So, you cannot stop me from talking. My religion, you cannot stop the press from pressing. I don't know. What the press today doesn't really press. Hey. Excuse me. Cough button. We need something. What do we got? We got nothing. We got pretty much nothing. Yeah. Okay. Got a treat for you in 1 second. So, speech, religion, press, right to bear arms. Okay? There we go. Now, the Heller case, in which the Supreme Court did affirm the Second Amendment as a fundamental civil right, is important. All right? He also said that the requirement to put lawfully owned firearms in the home, unloaded, disassembled, or bound by a trigger locker device violates the Second Amendment because it makes it impossible for citizens to use those firearms for the core lawful purpose of self-defense. So, you can't prohibit any firearm, rendering any lawful firearm in the home inoperable for the purpose of immediate self-defense. So, as I said, we were going to come back to that. They said, particularly, you cannot say that it must be trigger locked, put in a box, putting a safe. Safe putting a hole in the ground. So we got that. Now, how did the Second Amendment even get on this Bill of Rights? Well, when the U.S. Constitution was written, much debate over whether or not to include a specific Bill of Rights. Okay? We're going to get to that in a second. Many people at the time believed that if the government made a list of protected rights, then all the rights that were not on the list would be trampled, because they were very concerned about that. So they said, if we list something here and we miss something, then they're going to stomp all over it. Well, then there was others on the other side that said, if we don't include specific freedoms from being taken away by an overactive federal government, remember, this country was founded because the queen and king and the monarchy of England was a little bit too much to bear. All right. So the overreaching government forced people to leave and shoot for freedom. Yes, yes, that was bad. Leave and search and find freedom. Okay. Now, when they got here, there's lots of arguments about how to be free. And still others, they had three arguments. They said if you make a list of protected rights, the ones that are not on the list will be trampled. And others said it was necessary to keep specific freedoms away from an overactive government. And others said we need to trust our government to lead us and not shackle them with things that they could or could not do. Now, the Constitution was approved without a Bill of Rights, then sent to the states for ratification. Now, many of the states did not approve of that because that did not guarantee the protection of certain rights and freedoms. So the states came back on the Federalists that were trying to create the Constitution of the whole, and they said, hey, 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 I don't think so. Many states voted for the Constitution, specifically listing rights they felt should be included by the amendment. Among these rights were freedom of religion, speech, and right to keep and bear arms. Okay? Now, James Madison, largely in charge of drafting the original Bill of Rights, he looked over a very large list of proposed amendments that were recommended by various states, narrowed them down. He submitted to the U.S. Senate, the House of Representatives, when they passed 10 of them, and those 10 became known as the Bill of Rights. This story is well told in a book that you can go get by Stephen P. Hallbrooks, Every Man Be Armed. Now, in the writing cited in Every Man Be Armed, Mr. Madison has introduced long-expected amendments and contains a Bill of Rights, the right of people to bear arms, Trench Cox. So, the intent of that amendment was to protect individuals. Okay, the state said, we don't like you not saying what you can't do. And Obama and the current government, and lots of people in the current government, not just left or right, we're about truth here, but we can find and prove that people have complained that the Constitution is about what they can't do. They wish it was about what they could do. But the problem is, when you have a can't do, you're stuck. All right, so you got to fight against the can't do. So the states saw and understood these people that already were upset about being overtaxed, overregulated, tired of the monarchy, sought for freedom, sat around and said, whoa, this Constitution doesn't say much, doesn't protect as much as I want it to protect. I want a specific list. So the intent of these amendments was to protect the individuals from government powers, and that was the state's people, the state governments, the people that were looking out for their constituents that fought for the addition of the Bill of Rights. They were meant as a guarantee to the individual state governments, see, as well as the American citizens, that the federal government would not try to take away the freedoms which many of them had so recently fought for. Wouldn't that be interesting? what attitudinal difference would there be if we had recently fought to be able to purchase a handgun? I'm not saying let's have war. I'm saying these people had it fresh on their mind because they just fought the tyrannical, oppressive monarchy. So they said, I just fought and lost people trying to get this country to where it is today, and I'll be darned if I'm going to let somebody try to take it away again. So, a senator named William Grayson wrote to Patrick Henry last Monday, a string of amendments were presented to the lower house. These altogether respected personal liberty. To preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them. What? Do you understand what he said? He said, and it has been a rite of passage for many, many years. In fact, back then, when a boy reached a certain age, he got a gun. And then he got taught how to use that gun. Because back then, sometimes the gun was used for food. You're saying, well, times have changed. Food is sitting at the grocery store. They've already killed it. Not everyone has an incredible grocery store around their house. And if we didn't have hunters, we would be overrun with certain species. And again, just because you think it's convenience is not a reason to trample on a right. Okay? So there's another fact. Convenience is not an excuse to trample on a right. Now, so let's go into this. What is that militia? Well, the militia was provided for in Section 10 of the United States Code, and the code lists all laws written by the federal government, and it says all able-bodied males at least 17 years of age and under 45 who have made a declaration to become a citizen of the United States. And there is a reserve militia that includes women, children, and elderly. So you've got the front lines and the back line. Now, here's some statistics that spell out major parts of the gun battle. Okay, there are 129 million privately owned firearms in the United States in its last guesstimate. 65 million handguns in private circulation in its last guesstimate by the FBI Law Enforcement Bulletin. The fastest growing group of gun owners is women. Now, for those of you who are tired of violence against women, this should be as no surprise. Okay? The accidental firearm death rate is at its lowest point since records were started nearly 100 years ago, according to the National Safety Council. Excuse me. We need a sneeze button. Yes, I know you told me to take stuff. You know I don't do that. Oh, sorry. Still going through with the show, even though we're massively laden with the... how do you put this delicately? Snot? Pretty sure. All right. The firearms are used defensively roughly 2.5 million times per year, more than four times as many as criminal uses. Okay, so this amounts to 2,575 lives protected for every life lost to a gun. That's a fact. Wow, when you put it that way, You mean there are people using guns to stop crime, not just do it? Yeah. Remember, there's a lot of laws to say crazy people don't get guns. Wow, when these facts are laid out on the table, it really makes full sense. Motor vehicle accidents, drowning, suffocation, and fire each kill more children under the age of 15 than do firearms. And less than one handgun in 6,500 is ever used in a homicide. Wow. Wow. We're gonna post these statistics somewhere, because the arguments aren't about the killings. The arguments aren't about the saving of the children. The arguments aren't about everyone's getting killed by a handgun. The arguments seem to be, according to the statistics, a little bit about power. If you're telling me firearms are protecting me 2,575 times more than they're being used for bad, your argument's mute. Your argument against more handgun control is mute. Doesn't seem like there's a problem at the moment. When that goes down to 10 to 1, give me a call. But it's 2,500 to 1. When not one handgun in 6,500 is used in a homicide, when it's 1 to 10 or 1 to 100, you give me a call. Because that means there's a lot of crazy people out there with some handguns. But when the facts are laid, you hear, there kind of isn't an argument. Now, in a minute, we're going to come back. We're going to allow Adele to treat you with extreme happiness. And, wow, we love Adele. Amazing stuff. Amazing, amazing stuff. This hour has been brought to you by a new, kind of a new vendor to us. I called out to them because they seem to like to use my name. but they have nothing to do with what I do, because they're all about women. So, ladies, if you need a new handbag, over at HouseOfHatfieldDesigns.com, they create one-of-a-kind handbags for you. Purses, handbags, clutches, etc. They are brand new. They are ramping up their distribution. They are ramping up their, they've been in, you know, working on this for a while. And now they came out with a website and it's got my name in it. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because I don't know about you, but there's a reputation out there that Jack Hatfield must keep. And so the name of Hatfield being used anywhere in the world, I know about it. Kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I actually did. Anyway, so when that shows up on the radar, I said, whoa, what is this? What is this? Well, turned out it wasn't that bad. But they do have handbags, clutches, purses, etc. And all one of a kind. Very cool stuff. Ramping up their stuff. If you want to grab something that you know no one else will have around you, ladies, that is the place to go. The address, House of Hatfield Designs, House of Hatfield Designs. The other sponsor is, we had before, Homeschooler Hub. You go to homeschoolerhub.com. They want you to make sure you join up the social network so that we can all, I'm on there, so we can all get together and start creating ways to have our children get smarter and learn and socialize together so that all the arguments of homeschooling are taken away, because those stats, we've had homeschooling shows before, the stats show that those arguments that public school is the only way to go are also rendered mute by the stats of homeschooling. So homeschoolers, please join up at homeschoolerassembly.com, the other sponsored today. So we are very happy to have both of those for that hour. I should have did one at the half hour mark, but I was a little too busy and we've been a little discombobulated. So now let's just have some wonderment here, please. Adele, help these people.
Welcome to Adele's Magic Minutes. Each week I will be bringing you messages with help and advice around becoming a conscious creator. And I also will be here to answer your questions on any area in your life that you find that you have resistance at the moment. So please post your questions through to the Jack Hatfield Show, and I will answer them in the following week. Stop thinking with your head. Start thinking with your true energy. Open your heart. Give abundance. Be willing to accept abundance back, whether it be opportunities, offers of help or inspiration. Appreciate that energy has attracted it to you by the power of your creation, your desire, your love. When you align with energy, you will never worry about the how again. Your purpose is to find appreciation in whatever is your current experience. Be grateful for your desires as if they are already here. Then the important step is to recognize the coincidence put before you. Having the strength, courage, and belief in yourself to step forward and take action. Now, this I get asked this a lot with people I work with, and they will say, well, how do I know what energy is showing me? How do I know when I'm going to manifest my desires? Energy is showing you constantly. Energy, as soon as you have a belief, a new desire that is your belief, it is taken into energy immediately. Energy starts to transmute that very second to bring to you the manifestation of your desire. But energy does this in experiences and opportunities, because it has to work in the physical world. It has to work through these physical mediums. So there will be a series of experiences or opportunities brought to you which will eventually lead to the actual desire that you put out. Now, it's very important that you learn to recognize these signs. These are like, I call them, these are like points on a treasure map. And each point, as you match each point, you get nearer to your treasure. So energy is always showing you through, I call, conscious coincidences, because there are no coincidences. They are only conscious because they are the result of your desire, and they are matching your this frequency that you sent out. But what has to happen is you have to have the belief and confidence in yourself to not only recognize them, but to actually step up and say, yes, I recognize this. This is part of what I put out there, and I've got to take action on it. I know so many people who have absolutely amazing experiences and opportunities presented to them, and they see them and they say, oh, that was a coincidence, and they walk away and they leave them. And of course, energy will always provide more, but why wait? You know, if you want your desires, you want your desires now. So it's really, really important that you learn to have the confidence in yourself to recognize these conscious coincidences and step up. And as you step up to them, you will see more and more coming into your experiences, more little similarities and conscious coincidences happening. And it's just having that confidence and saying, yeah, this is, I can see why this is happening, and I've got to do something about it. Because in energy, action equals change in a system. So unless you learn to change, you won't change your action. So the only way to change is to take action. And once you do, once you start to take the action on these, this in itself will bring you so much confidence. This will show you just how much of a powerful creator you are. So it's your time now. You match those coincidences and start taking that action.
Thank you, John, for calling me, everyone. Now, whenever you can hear more about it, you know,
crazy, mad, insane world.
Weevils wobble, but they don't fall down. Pass it on.
This space is for rent. How much are you willing to pay?
Cool, Mr. Oliver Goat Cheese.
Crazy, mad, insane world.
Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, easy to feel like there ain't nothing in your life. Harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive. But it's really worth it if you give it a try. Easy to bitch, easy to whine, easy to moan, easy to cry, harder to work, harder to strive, harder to be glad to be alive.
It takes one to know one. Jack rules. Here is your host, Jack Hatfield.
Welcome, welcome to one of the fastest growing shows on the internet, the Jack Hatfield Show. I am your humble host, greatly appreciative of you being here, Jack Hatfield. Thanking you once again for making this just a highlight of the day pour yourself in for me. I'm not going to undervalue your listenership in any way. Thank you so much for being here. Okay, mass murderers. We haven't heard anything about gun control. Let's get into the nuts and the bolts of everything, okay? If I were to, because of the facts I just laid out to you, if I were to do a show on how many times things were prevented with guns versus how many times things happened with guns, again, I would do approximately 500 shows of 2 hours long with 25 stories in them before I did the first show with one story about a handgun used for bad. 500 shows with 25 stories apiece in them before I got to the first show with one story about a handgun being used to kill someone. Take that. I would not do 500 shows of just this. It is worthy to list some, so let's do that. Let's look at some instances of what I'm talking about. On October 1st, 1997, Luke Woodham, 16, was part of a satanic cult. He stabbed and bludgeoned his mother before driving her car to Pearl High School in Pearl, Mississippi, where he shot dead two students and wounded seven others with a rifle he made no attempt to conceal. He then got back in his mother's car and planned to go to Pearl Junior High School to kill more. But assistant principal Joel Myrick retrieved a .45 caliber pistol from the glove compartment of his truck and subdued Woodham. In other words, stopping more violence. On January 16, 2002, Peter Odigizua, 43 of Nigeria, went to the Appalachian School of Law campus in Virginia with a handgun and killed three and wounded three others. At the sound of gunfire, two other students, both police officers, retrieved guns from their cars. And meanwhile, another police officer and former Marine jumped Odigizua. It's very hard to pronounce all these consonants. And disarmed him by the time the other officers got to the scene. So, violent person with a gun gets subdued by law-abiding citizens. In both of those, okay, we see that the people doing it are a little disturbed, and the people stopping it are a little, normal. On August 23rd, 1995, a band of crack cocaine addicts entered a store in Muskegon, Michigan, with a plan to kill everyone and steal enough cash and jewelry to feed their habit. One member of the gang shot store owner Claire Cooper in the back four times, but he still managed to grab his shotgun and fire on the gang as they fled. They were all apprehended. So everyone inside lived because one man shot four times, got back. On December 9, 2007, 24-year-old gunman named Matthew Murray launched an attack on the congregants of the New Life Church in Colorado Springs that left two victims dead. Former police officer Gene Assam, member of the security team for the church, shot Murray 10 times, killing him as he was shooting at her. Murray had killed four others at a church 70 miles away earlier that day. July 24, 2012, Richard Gable Stevens rented a rifle at a shooting range in Santa Clara, California. So no past on this guy. He was able to rent the rifle. Then he herded three employees out the door, saying he intended to kill them. One of the employees, however, was carrying a .45 caliber handgun and shot the assailant, ending the issue. Okay. Melinda Herman, working upstairs in her Loganville, Georgia home office early afternoon, January 4th, she spotted a strange man outside. Alarmed, she scrambled with her 9-year-old twins to the attic crawl space, shut the door, and got on the phone with her husband, Donnie, who is at work in nearby Atlanta. Meanwhile, a suspicious stranger, 32-year-old Paul Slater, had broken into the house with a crowbar. Donnie Herman had recently taken his wife to a shooting range to practice, and now, with a criminal intruder nearing the crawl space where Melinda and her two children were hiding, she clutched a .38 revolver as her husband coached her over the phone with the police listening in. Just remember everything I showed you, everything that I taught you, all right? Donnie Ehrman is heard saying on the 911 tape. Melinda, if he opens that door, you shoot. You shoot him, you understand, he urgently instructed. The intruder somehow found the attic hiding place. When he opened the door, he was staring at a gun barrel. Melinda Ehrman unloaded all six rounds, hitting Slater 5 times. She shot him. She's shooting him. She's shooting him. She's shooting him, Donnie Hurd told the dispatcher. Shoot him again. Shoot him. After a few moments, Donnie Ehrman reported to the operator, she shot him a lot. Slater was still alive as Melinda Ehrman stood over him, begging her to stop shooting. He didn't realize she was out of ammo. Melinda ran to the neighbor's home with her children while Slater attempted to flee in an SUV. The intruder crashed into a wooded area and collapsed in a nearby driveway, according to the sheriff, Joe Chapman. Don't get confused. Deputies found Slater on the ground saying, help me, I'm close to dying. Slater, who had been arrested 7 other times in the county since 2008, was treated at a hospital for wounds of the face and neck. Her life is saved and her kid's life is saved, and that's all I'd like to say, the husband said. During the ordeal, after learning police had arrived and his wife and children were safe, Donnie Ehrman informed the dispatcher that he had just taken his wife to the shooting range. Starting back in 2005, FBI crime statistics show the number of murders with a hammer or other blunt object is 200 times. There's 200 more people killed with a hammer or blunt object than a handgun. So these facts aren't bearing out, are they? So what is going on here? Why do we avoid thinking logically about this topic? Why is the media and the government so complicit in telling the untruths and not the facts at the moment? Well, there are several reasons, possibly. Some were traumatized, like Sarah Brady, who became chairman of the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence after her husband, James Brady, Ronald Reagan's press secretary, was shot in the head and severely wounded by a bullet from John Hinckley's gun intended for Reagan. Now, obviously, that person is going to have an issue. Okay? Now, family members or friends of those who have died or been injured in accidents or crimes involving guns sometimes try to find some meaning or some redeeming value to their loss by crusading for laws they hope will prevent similar tragedy. This extends, of course, to those members of the public at large who, in response to mass murder events such as the elementary school massacre, are driven by a desire to do something to discourage future tragedies. Unfortunately, while emotionally satisfying, their solutions, banning entire classes of firearms, rarely used in crime, and designating schools gun-free zones, thus prohibiting teachers from carrying firearms to protect students, simply do make matters worse. Nevertheless, such motivation for taking guns out of the hands of lawful citizens, while misguided and even dangerous to public welfare, as noble as it gets when it comes to gun control proponents. Then you have those who just don't think much, or more likely who think through their emotions. They see a gun, guns are used to shoot people, therefore guns are bad. Guns are bad. Bad, bad, bad. Guns are bad. They probably have never examined the mountain of evidence that more guns, especially as reflected in the numbers of concealed carry permits, consistently results in less crime, and even if they did, they wouldn't believe it since their emotions rule. So, we're going to get, some people are afraid of guns. The mere sight of firearms makes them go crazy, so they don't like it. The sight of a gun to them speaks to them, even if it's, you know, not out loud, use me, kill someone, kill yourself. Since these people are unable or unwilling to confront their own dark propensities and resolve them by facing them honestly, instead they blame the object that awakened the evil within them. Psychologists call it projection. So we're going to go into why people may hate and fear guns in a minute. But let's look at some history. Okay, let's look at the facts. We've laid out a bunch of facts so far today. That the issue is not as scary as you thought it was, is it? No. Again, 500 shows, 25 stories apiece before I did the first show with one story on gun violence. Okay, so back, the genocide chart about how people disarming citizens always results in tyranny. Now, The Turkish government did before launching its unspeakably hideous multi-year extermination campaign against 1.5 innocent Christian Armenians. What is the first thing they did? They disarmed them. Here is recounted by HistoryPlace.com as a quick review of how Turkey's Muslim leaders conspired to solve the Armenian question once and for all, under the cover of the outbreak of World War I in 1914. At the prelude to the coming action, Turks disarmed the entire Armenian population under the pretext that the people were naturally sympathetic toward Christian Russia. Every last rifle and pistol was forcibly seized, with severe penalties for anyone who failed to turn in a weapon. Quite a few Armenian men actually purchased a weapon from local Turks or Kurds, nomadic Muslim tribesmen, at very high prices so they would have something to turn in. At this time, about 40,000 Armenian men were serving in the Turkish army. In the fall and winter of 1914, all of their weapons were confiscated, and they were put in slave labor battalion building roads or used as human pack animals. Under the brutal war condition, they suffered a very high death rate. Those who survived would soon be shot outright, for the time had come to move against the Armenians. Okay. Let's look into some more gun compensation through the years. Dates 1915 to 1917, Ottoman Turkey, the Armenians, mostly Christians, 1 to 1.5 million. The Gun Control Law, Article 166, and Penal Code 1866, and the 1911 Proclamation. They required permits, they had a government list of owners, and they had a ban on possession. The Soviet Union in 1929 to 1945, the targets were political opponents and farming communities. 20 million civilians killed. Resolutions 1918 Decree, July 12, 1920, Articles 59 and 182. They had the licenses of owners, ban on possession, and severe penalties. Nazi Germany and occupied Europe from 1933 to 1945. The targets were political opponents, Jews, gypsies, critics, and exemples. 20 million people. The law on firearms and ammunition, the 1928 weapon law, March 18, 1938, and the regulations against Jews, 1938. They had regulations and licensing, stricter handgun laws, and a ban on possession. China, nationalist, 1927 to 1945. The targets were political opponents, army, conscripts, and others. 10 million civilians killed. Article 205, Criminal Code 1914, the government permit system, and a ban on private ownership. I'm showing you history. These are places I'm positive you want to go visit for your family vacation so far, right? Hang on a second. I got to look that up. You are correct. I do have to look that up. I want to read this law. German law on firearms and ammunition of 1928. I want to read this law. If the maintenance of public security and order require it. Okay. Interesting. We're going to go into that one because a lot of people remember and have been taught about the Nazis. Okay? So we're going to go back into that. Not a lot of people have given a second glance to Armenians in Turkey or the Soviet Union. Or right now, people are buying things from China all day long. So, well, let's keep going. That was China Nationalist back in 1949. Now there's China Red from 49 to 52, 57 to 60. In 66 to 76, political opponents, rural populations, enemies of the state, 20 to 35 million civilians killed, the Act of February 20, 1951, and the Act of October 22, no sneeze, we're good, 1957, prison or death to counter-revolutionary criminals or anyone resisting any government program, death penalty for supplying guns to such criminals, so... more gun bans. Guatemala, 1960 to 1981. Mayans and other Indians, political enemies, 100 to 200,000 civilians killed. Decree 36, They registered guns and owners, licensing with high fees, prohibited carrying guns, bans on guns, sharp tools, and confiscation powers. Woo, goodness. Uganda, 1971 to 1979, they targeted Christians and political enemies, 300,000 civilians killed from the Firearms Ordinance of 1955 and the Firearms Act of 1970, where they registered all guns and owners, licenses for transactions, warrantless searches, and confiscation powers. Cambodia, 1975-1979, the targets were educated persons, political enemies, 2 million civilians killed, license for gun owners, ammunition and transactions, photo ID with fingerprints, and license inspected quarterly. And then Rwanda, 1994, the Tutsi people, 800,000 of those were killed because they registered guns, owners, ammunition, owners must justify need, concealable guns illegal, and confiscating powers. All of those glorious sites can be visited by you. If you think gun rights should be taken away, simply go to any of these places and you'll have a grand, grand time. So there was some history for you. Now let's go into, we're going to continue to highlight everyday heroes here throughout the show. So in the past, this past New Year's Eve, 18-year-old Sarah McKinley was at the home in Blanchard, Oklahoma, with her three-month-old baby when two men, one armed with a 12-inch hunting knife, were going door-to-door outside her home trying to gain entry. The recently widowed mother called 911, put a bottle in her baby's mouth and grabbed her pistol and her 12-gauge shotgun. "I've got two guns in my hand," she said to the 911 dispatcher. "Is it okay to shoot him if he comes in the door?" The 911 dispatcher said, "I can't tell you to you can do that, but you have to do what you have to do to protect your baby." When the man with the knife kicked open the door and came after her, the teen mom shot and killed him. McKinley was alone because her husband had died of cancer on Christmas Day. "I wouldn't have done it, but it was my son," she said of her decision to shoot. "It's not an easy decision to make, but it was either going to be him or my son. It wasn't going to be my son. There's nothing more dangerous than a woman with a child." In Sacramento, the afternoon of January 20th, 2013. Wow, this is kind of new news here, people. A resident was opening the gate to the driveway, when a man walked up and started acting irrationally. The man refused to leave, and as the resident continued to open the gate, the man took off his clothes, pulled out a cane, and came at the resident. The attacker violently swung the cane, breaking objects in the yard, and began throwing large objects at the resident. The resident went to his home to get a gun and ordered the man to leave. The intruder grabbed a heavy wrought iron stand and was motioning to throw it at the resident when the resident shot the man in the abdomen. The assailant was taken to the hospital where he died 8 hours later. Now, this is the crazy man about to kill this guy with all the things that he could find because he was naked, and he saved his own life because he was able to go in his house and get his lawfully owned, legally possessed firearm. We're going to tell more stories about that, but let's look back at this. The fourth regulations of the president for the protection of the economy and finance and on the defense of civil peace, December 8, 1931. Wow, the Nazis came into power legally. They were voted into power in elections held on March 1933. The Nazis fell short of the 50% of the vote. Hitler, afraid the public might oust him, didn't plan to hold more elections. On March 23, 1933, Parliament voted to give him emergency powers under the Constitution. There were no more elections in Germany until after World War II. The Nazis were far from being popular with the German people. The Nazis knew that many Germans opposed them. The Nazis used the 1928 Law on Firearms and Ammunition to disarm their opponents and prevent any armed resistance. The Nazis, at most, were the minority of the German population, not the majority. Ooh. The Nazis operated within the law, but in Germany, as here, a small private elite group wrote and defined the law. When you create the law, you can define the law. It can be as legal to abolish laws as it is to institute them. Hitler not only came to power legally, but instituted dictatorship legally. Goodness. What's in this? Coffee. All right, so the Nazi weapons law on March 18, 1938, were enacted, some of those laws were enacted in Congress in the U.S. Gun Control Act of 1968. The national identifier of the Social Security number was created by executive order by Franklin Roosevelt. And then the Firearm Owner Identification Card, the Firearm Owner Identity Card was created by the Nazi gun law. The Firearm Owner Identification Card, the FOID, was actually created in Illinois in that same law. So it kind of goes together when we look at that list that we just gave of how they started down the road for regulations of the president for the protection of the economy and finance on defense of civil peace. They do it under the auspices of 4U. Okay? Which is pretty amazing. So, let's look at what's happening today. All right. Before we go into that, 82-year-old man in Elsinore, Montana, assaulted by a home intruder January 18th, shortly after 7:30 p.m. The suspect, 30-year-old Charles White, fled after the man shot him. Sheriff officers later found White at a home in town with a gunshot wound to his arm. The 82-year-old homeowner was airlifted to St. Louis Hospital with head injuries, but he still survived. All right, in Oklahoma City, five people were trying to break into a home the evening of January 18th when the female homeowner shot one of them. Police say her male companion shot another one with the homeowner's gun, according to the Daily Oklahoman. All five suspects got into an SUV, drove 3 miles south to another home. Police arrived on the scene after a 911 call. Two of the suspects were taken to hospital with serious gunshot wounds. The other three were in police custody. All right, so Senator Greg Brophy says that a gun bill in Colorado could ban standard shotguns. Brophy is saying they're coming after a standard shotgun. If Democrats succeed in passing a bill limiting large capacity magazines in Colorado, they outlaw the most popular selling firearm for hunting. Hundreds of thousands of pheasant hunters are probably going to be carrying around a gun they won't be able to replace after July this year. The section of the bill that defines a high-capacity magazine is one capable of accepting can be readily converted to accept more than 15 rounds or 8 shotgun shells. This is where shotgun shells go inside this tube here. Screw off this part of the top, screw on an extender to the tube that allows it to hold more than 8 rounds. Readily convertible, which definition of the bill makes the whole thing a high-capacity magazine. Under the 1994 federal ban, manufacturers redesigned the gun so the barrel could not be extended. And they say it's highly unlikely they do the same just for Colorado. I don't know if anybody's going to make guns specifically for 5 million people living in Colorado. We just might not be able to legally purchase a pump shotgun or a semi-automatic shotgun, or even sell, transfer, or lend one. So, something to watch over there in Colorado. Now, remember, we just spoke about why people are up in arms about firearms, and then we laid out the facts that it's obviously not about the killings. Okay, let's look at who's banning guns as much as possible, and that is let's look at other countries that are doing it right now. Okay. Now, the British Home Office, with respect to gun control, is simple. Reduce civilian gun ownership to the absolute minimum. Okay? So most Europeans, including the British, are very used to high-level government regulation in their lives. So the concept that the police should set the firearm storage standard and inspect it regularly has been readily acceptable. Right? So this requirement first applied in the UK in 1968, rifles and pistols, but not to shotguns. Very successful and helped reduce the already low number of honest rifle and pistol owners in England and Wales from 216,000 out of a population of 47 million to 190,000, a reduction of 12% in just 3 years. However, over the same period, armed robberies increased by 19%. So the basis of the belief for the government passing a law and creating an expensive ongoing enforcement structure without going through a cost-benefit analysis is unwise. Many governments over there have internal rules mandating such processes, but gun control is an emotive subject, and when emotion dominates, methodical analysis is the early victim. The specific belief that keeping guns locked up is really important may flow from the overarching belief, completely unsupported by evidence, that guns have a severe negative effect on humans, turning ordinary people into criminals and ordinary criminals into murderers. So, the legal use of shotgun certificates were 783,400 in 1983, with the illegal use of robberies with shotguns at 611. So, boys and girls, pull out your calculator. I said 783,400 legal use shotgun certificates were issued in 1983, and there were 611 illegal use robberies with shotguns. Okay? That steadily rose until the law in 1988 was enacted. All right? It rose to 882,000 legal use shotgun certificates. Okay? And to a low of 602 illegal use robberies with shotguns in 1988. The 1988 Act, introduction of the serial number registration and compulsory security on the shotguns, okay, was enacted in 1988 over in Wales and England. So the growth trend that was occurring with shotgun certificates would have sent it from 1988, 882,000 to 965,000 in today's world, right? However, because there's so much regulatory hoops to jump through, shotgun ownership, legal use shotgun certificates went down. So now shotguns are now being not bought. Legal use shotgun certificates are going down. Everything should be okay, right? Well, that's not the way it happened. From the low of 602 illegal use robberies with shotguns, it jumped in 1 year to 804. It jumped in another 2 years to 1,031. So it practically doubled. Okay. So the leveling off of robberies with shotguns that had occurred from 1983 to 1988. So you had 611 all the way down to a 602. So basically pretty level in the scheme of things across those years of 83 to 88. As soon as that law was enacted, we had a massive rise. Okay. An increase for over the next 5 years to 893 per year over the four-year period, which is an increase of 26% more illegal use of the shotguns. Many dealers went bankrupt or closed their shops. Many owners were unable to sell their guns and hand them to the police for destruction. Assuming the average reduction in value of only $200 per certificate holder, the cost to lawful shotgun-owning community would have been under the order of $176 million. Excluding both the reduced value of stock in the distribution system and the cost of an improved storage arrangements. An unknown but apparently large proportion of those lawful owners who retained their certificates were forced to spend substantial sums on increased security arrangements, which then needed to be reinspected by police. Retired Police Superintendent Colin Greenwood of the West Yorkshire Police, the leading gun control researcher in UK for over 30 years, estimated the process of implementing the 88 Act consumed 3 million police man hours over the first 3 years. 200,000 honest gun owners were promptly driven out of their chosen sporting activity. An unknown proportion of the remaining 689,000 lawful shotgun owners had to spend money and time on their storage security. The lawful shotgun owning community had their assets reduced in value by approximately $176 million, and possibly a great deal more. This calculation made no allowance in reductions in gun shop stock values or bankruptcies. The rate of robberies with shotguns increased immediately and dramatically. 3 million police man hours were available for this productive work, were not available for the productive work, that is, stopping actual crime. So the final note on this causal relationship, the fact that robberies with shotguns increased dramatically with the introduction of compulsory storage, does not, of course, by itself prove a causal relationship. It is, however, highly relevant, as both the UK police, who championed the new law, and the UK government claimed compulsory secure storage would reduce criminal activity with shotguns. Their own statistics prove it had the exact opposite effect. An intruder put a knife to the throat of a woman in her early 50s who was getting out of the shower in Atlanta. The man, intent on sexual assault, according to the police, forced the woman into her bedroom. She was able to break free and grab that .22 pistol. She had to buy her bed and shoot the assailant, who ran outside, collapsed, and died. Neighbors summed it up. Thank God she's okay. She had a weapon to protect herself. She's a nice lady. Just a sweet, nice lady. 72-year-old woman in Colorado Springs grabbed her .38 revolver after hearing noises coming from her backyard at night. Moments later, the American Guardian reported, a man police had tied to two rapes and two hit-and-run accidents slammed through her bolted back door. But when the woman started firing, the intruder fled to his car. Police later arrested him. What would I have done if I hadn't had my gun? I would have just been another statistic, the grandmother said. Remember, I have to do 25 stories in 500 shows before I can say a gun killed a person in a homicide. I hope you're grasping that. Now, why do people hate and fear guns? Why is there an intense hatred? Many people have some deep thoughts. Psychologists have actually looked into it. Why don't you pick up that gun and blow your brains out? You kill a whole lot of people with that gun. Why not shoot her right now? That would shut her up. Sort of dark thoughts and impulses too horrible to dwell upon or even acknowledge that occur to many people at the mere sight of a firearm or a naked blade. When they see the weapon, they sense the presence of evil, so naturally they assume the gun is at its source, when actually the gun's close proximity caused their own buried, angry, violent tendencies to surface for a moment. Thus, many people who dislike or are uncomfortable around guns are actually afraid what they might do if they had a loaded firearm in their hand. And I'm not talking about criminal types here. I'm talking about nice people, nice on the outside, but lots of buried and perhaps unrecognized rage inside. And if you look around today's world at what's happening out there, there's a lot of unrecognized rage bubbling under the surface. If you don't think that's true, why is the government buying a whole bunch of tanks with mine protection, 4.2 billion bullets? This is the Department of Health and Human Services buying these bullets, people. Now, the health care bill is actually being written because we have to pass it to know what's in it. And now there's a Montana lawmaker, Creighton, warning the president's executive orders on gun control could be involved in a health care scenario. Because there's now a passed bill that prohibits a health care provider from refusing or conditioning care if a person refuses to provide information related to firearm ownership, possession, or use. Because remember, there's an executive order that gave doctors sheriff powers. Healthcare enforcers examine your medical records and announce the public safety authority has handed down Rule 1040 declaring semi-automatic rifles, 22s, are applicable for military purposes. So you're trying to get care. You rush into the healthcare facility, and no other option exists other than the guy that says, you've got to give me all your guns or else I can't help your family member. That's right. The Healthcare Act is actually tied in with doctors asking patients about guns in their home. We went through a lot of true facts here.
Yeah.
Another libation. Love it. We've laid out the facts that bear. Hang on. I don't know why I haven't added this all day.
Late one night as I came home and saw the front door broken in.
Is a up-and-coming band, actually, I believe he's ex-military, fantastic, called Madison Rising. Go visit them. I've seen them live. I've met one of them. Signed CDs. I have all kinds of stuff about them. You need to get on board with them as well. We're going to start promoting them heavily here on the show. Remember, we've got a lot of things. That's called Right to Bear, by the way, and it talks about you cannot take away my right to bear arms. So MadisonRising.com, go there now, see what they're doing. They've been all over the TV, Fox and Friends, etc., and they do scores and scores of concerts across the country. Up-and-coming, incredible, pro-America rock. See, something's happening, ladies and gentlemen, where a lot of people are getting together going, you know what, I'm tired. I'm tired of you taking the culture away, because let's get down to it. We get down to brass tacks, right? We get down to brass tacks. We kind of see it's not guns. When we got down to the statistics that no one has told you, nobody told you those statistics. I'm going to say them again just in case you weren't here earlier. Okay. Remember, 65 million handguns in private circulation. 65 million. Okay. The fastest growing group of gun owners are women. And firearms are used defensively roughly 2.5 million times per year. Four times as many as a criminal use. So that's 2,575 lives protected for every life lost to a gun in a crime. All right, less than one handgun in 6,500 is ever used in homicide. Motor vehicle accidents, drowning, suffocation, and fires kill more children under the age of 15 than do firearms. So, again, facts do not begot the gun control hyperbole that you are hearing. Now, I'm going to read to you a little bit from Walter E. Williams, where he talks about the real problem. When he attended primary and secondary school in the 40s and 50s, one didn't hear the kind of shooting mayhem that's become routine today. Why? It surely wasn't because of strict firearm laws. My replica of the 1902 Sears mail order catalog shows 35 pages of firearm advertisements. People sent in their money, and a firearm was shipped. Dr. John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime, reports that that until the 1960s, some New York City public high schools had shooting clubs where students competed in citywide shooting contests for university scholarships. They carried their rifles to school on the subways and upon arrival turned them over to the homeroom teacher, gym, coach, and retrieved their rifles after school for target practice. Virginia's rural areas had a long tradition of high school students going hunting in the morning before school and sometimes storing their rifles in the trunks of their cars that were parked on school grounds. Often a youngster's 12th or 14th birthday present was the shiny new 22 caliber rifle given to him by his father. Today's level of civility can't match yesteryear's. Many of today's youngsters begin the school day passing through metal detectors. Should be metal detectors. Woo, boy, I think Congress should have a metal detector as they pass through. I think it'd just go off. We'd hear nothing but beep. Can you step back, sir? We're going to have to use the wand. Oh, my. Let's get back to this. Guards patrol school hallways and police cars patrol outside. Despite these measures, assaults, knifings, and shootings do occur. In 2010, there were 828,000 non-fatal criminal incidents in schools, 470,000 thefts, 359,000 violent attacks, of which 91,400 were serious. In the same year, 145,000 public school teachers were physically attacked and 276,000 were threatened. What explains today's behavior versus just 50 years ago? Can we think about that for a second? Well, for well over half a century, a lot of people have gotten together, along with the educational establishment, pseudo-intellectuals, and courts, have waged a war on traditions, customs, and moral values. The people have taught the vision that there are no moral absolutes to our young people. To them, what's moral or immoral is a matter of convenience, personal opinion, or a consensus. During the 50s and 60s, the education establishment launched this agenda to undermine lessons children learn from their parents and the church with fads such as values clarification. Okay. The sex education classes were simply indoctrination that sought to undermine family and church strictures against premarital sex. And then there were lots of things put into place that could happen without neither parental knowledge nor consent. Customs, traditions, moral values, and rules of etiquette, not laws and government regulations, are what make for a civilized society. Behavioral norms transmitted by example, word of mouth, and religious teachings represent a body of wisdom distilled through ages of experience, trial and error, and looking at what works. The importance of customs, traditions, and moral values as a means of regulating behavior is that people behave themselves even if nobody's watching. Police and laws can never replace these restraints on personal conduct so as to produce a civilized society. At best, the police and criminal justice system are the last desperate line of defense for the civilized society. The more uncivilized we become, the more laws are needed to regulate behavior. Many customs, traditions, and moral values have been discarded without an appreciation for the role they played in creating a civilized society, and now we're paying the price. What's worse is that instead of a return to what worked, people want to replace what worked with what sounds good, such as zero tolerance policies and bringing a water pistol, drawing a picture of a pistol, or even eating a Pop-Tart into a shape of a pistol. Seeing as we've decided we should rely on gun laws to control behavior, what should be done to regulate clubs and hammers? After all, FBI crime statistics show that more people are murdered by clubs and hammers than rifles. Basically, the breakdown of people being able to say, you know what, that's wrong. You need to stand up and fly right. Remember the songs back in the day that used to tell you, you know, straighten up and fly right? Nat King Cole, straighten up, fly right. Or some of the songs of the forgotten era, the standards. Where you actually heard people say, you know, you need to be moral, be just, treat ladies correctly. I've got to do something. We're about to run out of time, but I've got to do something. What you heard earlier was Madison Rising. Go there, take care of them. This hour, sponsored again by the two new sponsors. I'm doing very poorly at getting through these ads when they're supposed to go. We've got the Homeschooler Hub, the Homeschooler Assembly, the world's first social network for homeschoolers. They utilize exclusively the new search engine that will not turn your results over to the government, Alamodo.com, and a video channel that's open now, Alamodo Media or AlamodoVideo.com. So you've got Homeschooler Assembly, where you can join, homeschoolers can join the social network, a new search engine coming up, and going to put in their local categories so that you don't have to search. You just click on the category, bam, there they are, and you can find them. They don't have to play the game anymore that's out there. And then, of course, House of Hatfield Designs for you ladies. We've tried to, our ladies' listenership is growing, growing, growing. So we found one because they tried to put my name in their name, and they still did, but it's okay. HouseofHatfieldDesigns.com, purses, handbag, clutches, make sure you go there. We play a song on here all the time called This Is It, and it talks about One Day at a Time. And that show, One Day at a Time, had a lot of good moral values in it. It was about a single mother raising two daughters, along with a janitor. Well, Bonnie Franklin passed away last week. So in her honor, we'll play this.
This is it.
So rest in peace, Bonnie Franklin. We really appreciate it. We'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening. We've laid out the facts here. We didn't get done with everything we needed to get done because we were a little discombobulated. We'll beat on people for that later. But again, we really do appreciate you coming, listening to Up in Arms about firearms. The stats don't bear out, people. We need you to start paying attention, and we need the news and the truth to come out there. Alamodo.com/news will show you each and every headline right next to each other. We go out with Madison Rising again. Thank you very much. Go to MadisonRising.com. Help your voice out. They are pro-America.
Base one night.